Welcome once again to another episode of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose and sometimes bi-weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary. I'm one of your co-hosts, Al John Go. Stephen Anthony is out this week. Actually, he's out for this particular episode because we are going to reconvene for a huge mega show coming to you later this week to tackle our reviews and thoughts on SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver. We've got the ROH show that was awesome, and so much more. So be on the lookout for that. Before we get into this particular episode, which will deal with Triple H and his pre-show thoughts on maybe a little bit of SummerSlam, but definitely NXT TakeOver. I think it's interesting to hear that. I would have launched this earlier, but schedules being what they are, I wasn't able to put this podcast up until now. Because we have our NXT TakeOver pre-show, our SummerSlam pre-show that we did, which are great podcasts, so you need to go back and listen to them if you haven't to see how good we scored. That's a whole other show altogether. That's going to be our next show with Steven. But we are also going to be dealing with this interesting piece of business, which is the semi-shoot promo that he cut on Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack just the other day. So we're going to talk about that here. That's going to be our promo of this particular show, the promo of the week for this show, okay? But before we get into that, let's talk about how you can support the show. Hey, did you know we're on Patreon? Pro Wrestling Cast is on Patreon. And by donating a dollar, every little bit helps out so that we can up our game in terms of production and things we need to upgrade in terms of our video and audio podcast. So we would appreciate it if you check out our link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Click on our Patreon link and you can support the show. And the more Patreons, the more patrons we have to support our show as a crowdfunded show, because we do this for you for free, the more content we can bring you every single week. Also, another great way for you to support our show would be using our Amazon links as well. We do have our Amazon banner. Click on that, as well as our search engine, so that you can get the types of products that you want every single day, every single week. And instead of just going straight to Amazon, when you use our banner, Amazon shows us a little bit of love by giving us a commission on it. It doesn't cost any more. It just simply means that Amazon appreciates you shopping with them and supporting our podcast, ProWrestlingCast.com. We also have links in there for WWE Network. Daily shop deals with WWE Shop, especially when you're getting all those brand new title belts that they just released, the tag team titles for SmackDown, the new SmackDown Women's Championship, as well as the brand new Universal Championship, which looks surprisingly similar to the Women's Championship, and the world title having a baby. I'll leave that to you right there. So anyway, links for the WWE Shop as well. Now on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line!
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one, when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna reach out right now! I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand!
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast, and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
This past week, huge week in wrestling news. We're going to deal with that in a future show. As I mentioned at the top of the program, Stephen Anthony and I will reconvene, but I am your host, Al John Go, lifelong wrestling fan and broadcaster, commentator, what have you. 17 years, nearly 20 years of broadcasting and podcasting. I'm very happy to be doing this show for you every single week. So we come to the comments of one Mr. Triple H, Paul Levesque. He is the man behind NXT. So here we have some of his press conference audio that he had with some major media outlets Of course, you get to hear what some of the wrestling pundits have to ask Triple H in terms of, you know, his thoughts on the Cruiserweight Classic and what is in store. We did know that the Cruiserweight Classic, just from the looks of the logo, that there will be a type of trophy or cup involved. We saw that in the opening graphics ever since day one. We knew that was going to be, you know, what's at stake. And they did reveal the fact that they do have a really nice trophy made by the Custom Choppers folks. It looks really, really nice. So I really like that. How it's going to kind of end up being in terms of that particular champion moving forward to compete on Raw is a different story. Will that person be crowned the first Cruiserweight champion? We don't know. One can only suspect that there will also be another tournament for that, because WWE likes making tournaments. Now, it took all this time, but they love making tournaments, as we can tell from Finn Balor relinquishing his time this past Monday on Raw. So here are Triple H's immortal words in regards to the press and his thoughts on SummerSlam, NXT specifically, and the Cruiserweight Classic. And we'll be back with some other immortal words from The Miz.
Wrestling Cast.
We're going to turn things right over to WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events, and Creative, Paul Triple H Levesque.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. As always, I really appreciate the time that you guys make for being a part of this. And, I say this, and I say this part of it, that I'm always saying it, that it's an exciting time. It really is, between the brand extension of Raw and SmackDown, the amount of talent being called up out of developmental into the main rosters, NXT talent making that move to the main roster is a huge opportunity for them, but it's a huge opportunity for the brand itself of Raw and SmackDown to have their presence there. As to me, they're some of the best in the world, some of the people that just got called up. So it's an exciting time for that. It's an exciting time for NXT coming into Brooklyn for the second year in a row, sold out with a massive card. Also with Cruiserweights happening, the Cruiserweight Classic in full tilt right now, and as you are well aware, with Cruiserweights being added exclusively their own division on Monday Night Raw, it's it really is a really great time in the industry. So I'll talk really quickly about TakeOver. I'm really excited about this TakeOver card. Funny that I have a poster that was made for me. Actually, it's a poster with some artifacts out of the arena from last year's Brooklyn show that somebody had made for me. It's in my office, and I was looking at it the other day with somebody that was touring my office, and it became evident to me at how much things had changed in 1 year. The TakeOver Brooklyn card from last year is basically the main roster, half of the main roster right now. So, that's amazing, and then a compliment to the system of NXT and what they're doing. The card this year is very exciting. You know, you have a little bit of everything. You have a debut of Ember Moon, which, anybody that's familiar with her career thus far, very exciting performer. I'm really excited to get her started in NXT, and as a lot of the women have moved into the main roster, she's going to become a key part of the women's division going forward. You have veterans like Austin Aries stepping in the ring to take on rookies like No Way Jose. A really exciting match, I think, for a lot of people. You know, it's kind of a departure in styles, but I'm excited to see No Way bring something different than what we've seen from him, the dancing, fun-loving guy. See if he can raise the stakes a bit and stand in the ring and hang with somebody like Austin Aries. Great opportunity for him. Andrade Siamos and Bobby Roode, what can you say about that match other than I can pretty much guarantee that one's going to be glorious. Gargano and Ciampa versus Revival, I can't wait for. To me, there's nothing more exciting sometimes in classic tag team action, and this thing has the potential to just absolutely steal the show. You know, Johnny Gargano and Ciampa have just, I feel like as performers, just turned this corner. You know, the performance that they put on in their match at the Cruiserweights and the things that they've been doing in NXT are just off the charts. Revival, to me, are one of the best tag teams out there right now, and excited for that match, really excited. A match that I've been waiting for a really long time, the rematch between Bayley versus Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship. Bayley, you know, kind of having an up and down year, but coming out of last year's Brooklyn of just an epic career making moment for her, and can she repeat that in Brooklyn? And Asuka just coming in and really just dominating a division like nobody else. That's a match that, again, there's a lot of candidates on here that could steal the night, steal the show, and possibly steal the weekend. And when you talk about stealing the show or the weekend, you have to bring up Samoa Joe versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which two performers that have known each other for a really, really long time, but fortune just has never brought them into the ring together, and two diverse styles that I'm really intrigued. I'm a big believer in styles making matches and fights, and this is one that I really think is going to deliver, you know, beyond anybody's expectations. So the card is amazing. Once again, as usual, we'll be shooting a couple of matches prior to going live. We'll have the pre-show for 30 minutes, and we'll be shooting a few matches that will air the following week. And it's going to be a hell of a night. So I will open it up. You know, we can talk a little bit about cruisers on here if that's what everybody wants to talk about. Open to talking about TakeOver. I'd also like to mention that the WWE PC has another All Access taking place on Monday, November 14th. So these have been very successful for us, and you know, our audience absolutely loves them. Coming in and really, truly getting to see a day in the life of how NXT and WWE superstars are made, observing the training, and then getting participated in their own, doing their own promos, their own entrances, playing a role in an NXT live event that happens at the Performance Center, and just kind of hanging out with everybody all day. It's just a kind of an ultimate one-day fantasy camp that people have been just blown away by and are really excited about. Been very successful for us, so we look forward to doing another one of those. I mentioned Cruiserweights really quick, and I just want to say that to me, Cruiserweights has been one of those really fun projects for me that I've been wanting to do for years, and finally having the opportunity to do it. You know, it's always been something that I felt needed to happen, and to give talent in that division, the under 205, since that's the cutoff we're using, in that realm, the opportunity to shine and possibly get the opportunity that they never had before, which is if they thought they could never make it to Raw or never make it to SmackDown, never make it to WrestleMania, this is that opportunity. And that opportunity has already delivered, as you see Cruiserweights going exclusively to Raw and SmackDown. So, I mean, you've seen some amazing, amazing matches and talent already, and you're going to see a lot more, you know. So it's an exciting time if you're a cruiserweight. It's an exciting time if you're in the industry altogether. So with that, I'm going to open it up to questions.
Guys, we'll try and keep it the same rules. Two questions per hour, please. Thank you.
And to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone, and also make sure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take the first question from Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Hey, Mike, never let me down.
I'll, I'll, I'll do my best to continue that trend. I wanted to talk to you about the Cruiserweight division first, specifically the talents going to Raw. Can you give us some insight into whether talents are being signed to full-time deals, whether they're being signed to NXT-style deals, and they'll work Raw as well? How many talents are we looking at signing at this point? And maybe give us some insight as well into why the Cruiserweights only went to Raw when Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan, who are on the SmackDown brand, are the voices of that show.
I guess Daniel's a bad negotiator, I guess. Look, I think that, to me, the Cruiserweights, the place for them, and I agree with the Daniel Bryan, Mauro Ranallo analogy. Look, those pieces weren't necessarily in place when we were putting together the Cruiserweight Classic, but you know, Raw being the 3-hour show and needing more and more content and more talent, I believe that Cruiserweights, that is the right place for them. Monday Night Raw is the right place for them. It's something different, and I think you're going to see that not just from a, I don't just mean that from a work standpoint, because some, you know, in that sense, it's a lot of the same. And I don't mean the same, you know, obviously different people, different styles, everything, but the work rate is the same, if not better, with some guys. And I think you'll see the presentation being different, and you'll see it's all about creating something different for Raw, given the 3-hour format. As far as who we're bringing in, yes, we're signing a lot of Cruiserweights right now, and I'm creating a division. So I'm going around and signing guys, and you know, I'm also keeping an eye towards the future as well. I don't need to have every single Cruiserweight right now. I just need to have a decent amount, and they will be working NXT. They will be working NXT live events, and they'll also be working Raw as Cruiserweights. The opportunity is there to do both. And, you know, I want these guys to be able to work. And, you know, when you have a 3-hour Raw show, there's a lot of talent. There's only so many live events. So I want to be able to put guys to work and to keep them doing what they do so that they not only can do it now but continue to get better. So the opportunity is there in a big way for all of them. And, you know, I'm really excited about this process of getting the Cruiserweights going, because I think this is going to be something really special.
Now, just the follow-up question to that is obviously TakeOver is Saturday. It's why we're all here. Last year, I felt like that was kind of the real coming out party, the TakeOver in Brooklyn for the brand. This year, you've got a lot of people. It's kind of going to be their trial by fire, as it's going to be the biggest building they've ever worked in, the biggest platform they've ever had. How important is it to you that NXT is always evolving with fresh faces kind of having that trial by fire, as opposed to, say, established talents like Finn Balor remains there for 2-3 years? Because obviously at the end of the day, as much as NXT has grown, and we've talked about this in past calls, the need is there to not only build this brand, but to feed the monster, which is Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, I look, as I've said before, I think it's part of the magic. When I look at that card, as I mentioned earlier, when I look at that the fight poster in my office, and I look at that, and it's like a different environment. You know, everybody that's on there, with the exception of I think Joe and like the Revival, maybe everybody else on there is gone and is populating the main roster and in prominent spots, a lot of them. You know, so it's exciting to see that, and I'm happy for all of them. But it is part of what makes NXT exciting, I think, is there's a constant freshness to it. I think there's a constant evolving to it. You need to create talent to feed the monster. You need to create talent to feed NXT, and it's becoming its own monster. You know, and I think it's part of the magic. By the time talent are ready to leave NXT, right, they're ready to go. And, you know, people will criticize sometimes that somebody comes in from outside with a lot of indie experience and they'll say, oh, well, you know, they were already ready. Well, in-ring, but there's a lot more to what we do than just in-ring. And the goal of NXT, the goal of the Performance Center, of all of it, is to get them ready for television, is to build authentic characters, you know what I mean, and make them rich, give them some backstory, experiment with with the things that they do. So they know and they have it buttoned down. When they walk up or walk out the door of NXT to go wherever they're going, they are so beyond ready for anything that can come their way. It just creates a different environment, and I think that you're not going to get to see those guys too often that make that debut on Raw or make that debut on SmackDown, and then you're like, ooh, yeah, no, he may not fully be ready, you know, as much as possible. I think you're going to get that every now and then because, you know, look, Vince or the team might decide to bring somebody up that's not fully baked because they have a role in mind or they have a spot in mind they want to use them for, and that's okay. But for the most part, it's to get them as ready as possible, and I think we're doing that really well. And look, NXT is the proof in the pudding because the guys that are and the girls that are there right now, they will push that SummerSlam roster hard to make that show deliver.
All right, thank you for your time. Talk to you next time.
Thank you.
And we'll go to Alvaro Garcia with the Trace Media.
Hi, Heather. Nice to meet you.
How are you?
We are facing the first takeover with two in its title. Can we consider Brooklyn as the WrestleMania for NXT?
Sorry, I'm getting some feedback on the phone and I couldn't quite understand the question.
I'm sorry. We are facing the first takeover with two in its title. Can we consider Brooklyn as the WrestleMania of NXT?
Well, it's hard to say it's the WrestleMania. I think right now it's the WrestleMania of NXT because it's of the, you know, returning from last year and, you know, having such an epic event this year and coming back this year with another epic event. So, yeah, but when you look at NXT, the run of how long we've been at this level has been brief. Last year, this past April was the first takeover that we did from WrestleMania. The year prior wasn't televised. It was just a live event. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Obviously, I'm going to want any of these we do. When we do another show this year at WrestleMania, I'm going to want that to be the biggest show we can possibly do. So, yeah, again, in some ways it's always going to be special because it was the first epic event like that, and I think coming back there this year, selling it out again and having another epic event makes it feel special too.
Mm-hmm. And last year we had an awesome match for the Women's Championship, and this year looks like another epic show. What do you think is the key of talent of the female roster?
What do I think is the key?
Yes, of the female roster, yeah, of the talent of the roster.
I think for the women, it's no different for the men. You know, look, I'm of the belief that a WWE superstar is a WWE superstar, no matter gender, and I believe that we're training women. If you saw the special last night on WWE 24, talking about the evolution of women in the industry, I thought it did a wonderful job of kind of portraying that evolution. And it's not that nothing has come before it, but I think that now across the board, so it's not just one or two here or there, it's across the board, we're training women to be the women to be something more, and their work ethic and what they're trying to accomplish. They're not trying to have the best women match that they can have. They're trying to have the best match of anybody that night. I can tell you right now that Asuka and Bayley are hell-bent on having the match of the night. They're hell-bent on stealing that show. Bayley wants that same thing she had last year, that same feeling she had last year. And Asuka, I know how hard she works. I know how seriously she takes this. She is looking to steal the show. She wants the headline in Japan, not to be Shinsuke Nakamura. She wants it to be Asuka. So, you know, to me, it's all about how hard they're willing to work, how hard they're willing to go to make themselves the best, and that's the magic.
Mm-hmm. And considering the tremendous success of NXT all over the world, WWE product in Spain, my country. Is there any chance of an NXT show in Spain in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're open to going anywhere. I think, as you've seen with the UK, and I'm not fully letting the cat out of the bag because we already promoted it there, but we'll be making an announcement over the weekend about an upcoming Australia tour. We're open to taking the brand wherever it needs to go. I see NXT as its own brand. I struggle sometimes even with the getting a call up, because to me sometimes I get the opportunity is so much bigger. But it's a global brand. If you're anyplace else in the world performing right now, I would be hard pressed to think that you would not be interested in coming to NXT if that was the only opportunity that was being presented to you, not WWE, you know. It's become its own brand, and I think that's an important component of what we are, and I think because it is its own brand and its own global brand through the network and through our other TV partners, that we can go anywhere. And so far, every place we've gone to massive sold-out crowds. I'm very happy about that.
And one last show question. And now with the ring station...
I got to wrap. I got to be fair on the call. Okay. Super hours. Okay. Sorry.
And we'll take our next question from Martin Hoffman with Sport One.
Hello. To Mark. Not your first time, Harry. Got some question from specifically from my market. As you said, NXT is a global brand. We got one... we got one German guy who represents the German flag there. It's Alexander Wolf. He's there for a while. He's not on the NXT TakeOver card. I see there's so much talent at NXT that, yeah, I guess it's tough for one individual to top the other talent and become a part that is able to go to play a role in the NXT TakeOver shows. But, where is the point where Alexander Wolf stands? What is still missing to make the next break?
I would expect to see some big things coming out of Alexander Wolf soon. He's come along tremendously as a performer. You know, again, what we talk about, as a performer, he was in a great place, you know, has learned a lot since walking in the door, but also just from a television production and how to be a star is really where we were at with him, and he's come a long way, and I would expect to see some big things for him very soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If one thought that comes to mind, I mean, you have the project with former German national goalkeeper Tim Wiese running. He's expected to make his debut on the German tour in November. Is that still the actual point? If that still that plans are still in place? Is there an idea to make those two guys work together? Alexander, the veteran, and Tim, who's more the newer guy in the wrestling business.
I think at this point in time, we're seeing how Tim's training comes along, and we're going to play it by ear as to where we can go from there. And I think on Tim's part and everybody else, I think his hope is that it is. This is something big for him and something big for everyone involved. So we have to play that by ear.
Mm-hmm. So it's still not locked yet that he's doing his match. And
oh no, he's gonna do something. We just don't. We're not 100% positive of what it is.
Okay, that's good to hear. So get some proof. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next is David Meltzer with Wrestling Observer.
Paul, couple questions. Kota Ibushi has said, and I don't know, you know, obviously sometimes when people are ready to sign, they aren't supposed to say anything until you guys make the announcement. But he has said that he's interested in working for you, but he's also interested in working in Japan and that type of a deal. Are you guys open for the idea of, say, whether it's a cruiserweight or even a somebody else who would work, you know, matches in Japan, maybe with some of the groups there, as well as do big shows for you, or is, or do you want guys to be pretty much exclusive to you?
I mean, I think, look, I think there's open, there's openings. I mean, you know, a year ago I worked with Liger, you know, we're open to doing different things. I think when it comes to the cruiserweight division, we're looking for something solely WWE and keeping it in-house. I think, you know, we'll see. I kind of work with everybody as they're coming in and just kind of see what they have going on and see where we want to go from there. And all of this is kind of a work in progress, especially with the cruiserweights. It's morphed from, you know, an idea to a concept that we put on the network to this is great, we're going to make it a part of Raw, to trying to morph it into that. So we're in the process of that now. You know, I'm open to things, but when we're talking about creating WWE superstars, you know, we're looking to create WWE superstars and work with them, you know.
Now, also, not that recently, but you hired a new strength and conditioning coach down there. And is there a new philosophy, or is it an existing philosophy as far as the nature of training guys? Because I know I've talked to a lot of guys, because obviously, you know, you had a rash there where all kinds, there's one shoulder surgery after another, and different guys to different theories as to why. Some people blamed, and I don't even know, but some people blame CrossFit training, thinking that that's not good for your joints combined with pro wrestling. Some people, you know, were questioning about heavy Olympic lifting, if that's not conducive to also doing pro wrestling. And pro wrestling itself, you know, the way this, obviously the modern style, guys get their shoulders banged up. But, I mean, is there any kind of, like, change, so to speak, or has he given any input to you, or have you given any input to him on, you know, obviously that injury seemed to be, there seemed to be a preponderance of the, of that injury, both on the main roster and even more in NXT, you know, 6 months ago, and even to an extent today.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, we're looking into all of that as far as, you know, trends or cause and effect of things like that, but it's always been a weird thing to me in the business that, like, one guy will get an ACL and then, like, five guys will get an ACL. And then all of a sudden, now it's quads. And then, oh, now it's shoulders. And I don't know why that is. And I don't know. Look, I've seen people write reports and say, oh, well, it's the Olympic lifting or the CrossFit stuff versus, you know, other types of training. I don't know. I've known just as many guys with bad rotator cuff tears and shoulders problems that have never done an Olympic lift in their life, as I do guys at Olympic lift that have those same injuries. So I think it's difficult to pin it on one thing other than, you know, at some point in time, it's a physical business, right? And so, but are we looking at that? Absolutely. You know, Sean, our new strength and conditioning coach is one of the best in the country. And, that's part of the process of things we're looking into now is monitoring them through the athletic development of their careers and how injuries play out and how to work against them. It's a part of the entire process of the strength and conditioning program. It's not just to, you know, I think for some people they look at it and they go, oh, well, they just want everybody to look like bodybuilders. It's not it at all. We want people to be as healthy as possible. So part of the process is I just call it trying to make them bulletproof, you know, is you're trying to create athletes through everyday exposure to them that are, like, if they're starting to have issues a little bit with their shoulders, you start to work on the internal structure of the shoulders, strengthen it to try to keep them healthy, you know, keeping them as polished and flexible and mobile and strong and powerful and all those things along the way will long-term lead to a longer, healthier career. But it's a work in progress. And as the great thing is, we live in a great time where technology is amazing. And we're looking into systems now to help monitor that training as well. And, you know, no different than the NFL. To be quite honest, I consider us fairly further down the road than a lot of NFL teams at this point, but we're to establish those links so that we can work around them and try to keep our guys as healthy as possible for as long as possible.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll go to Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net.
Yeah, hey, Paul. What will the NXT broadcast team be on Saturday and even going forward now that Corey Graves has been promoted to Raw?
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time?
Sure. With Corey Graves being promoted to Raw, I'm just wondering if there's any change to the NXT broadcast team going forward.
Hey, we're working on that. It's an interesting time, you know, even for the, you know, when you look at the rosters of Raw and SmackDown, and then you say, okay, so what's the roster of NXT look like? And then the same thing, you know, you, in my mind, kind of created somewhat of a dream team for the Cruiserweight show, but then those roles morph as well, and then Corey, you know, makes the move, which I'm thrilled about. So we're trying to figure out the best fit and voice for NXT, the brand itself, and you know, and work again with it, a lot of it comes down to, does Vince want them exclusive? Does he not want them exclusive? So it's a little bit of a work in progress right now. You could see some shifting around a bit. I'm not 100% sure, but we're working to find the best voice and not lose perspective also of the fact that, you know, part of my goal is with NXT, I'm just as thrilled that we created a Corey Graves as a Raw announcer as I am, you know, other talent as well. That's a massive opportunity for him. And we helped create that opportunity for him. So now I'd like to help somebody else be in that position to have that opportunity as well, so that we constantly have this backup feeder system always in place and just A teams everywhere, you know.
Cool. And you generated some buzz by talking about your comments on 50-50 booking. I'm just curious, is there a reason we don't see as much of that on NXT? Is it just a product of it being a one-hour show compared to a two- or three-hour show?
Yeah, look, first of all, when you compare a one-hour show to a three-hour show from a writing and a booking standpoint, it's not even in the same stratosphere. It's a totally different animal. Look, you know, first of all, it's shocking that I created controversy with something I said, but, you know, booking in a lot of it is a feel, and you just kind of go along the way of what you feel it to me, and that's how I do it, is the feel of the right place to go and the right things and move these pieces in place and, you know, listening to the audience, but also what do you want to see as a, for me, I just look at it and go, like, I'm a fan. This is what I want to see. And I try to book in that manner. Everybody is a different style, different philosophy, but there's none of it is some of my point of saying that was, yeah, none of it is right and wrong. It's chocolate. It's vanilla. It's all these different things that they're different flavors. And at the end of the day, the long-term success of your business and your company, and, you know, you can say what you want about it, but there's a pretty good track record for a lot of it. So, look, I book NXT the way I want to book NXT. As the rest of it is done differently sometimes. Sometimes it's not. You know, it's not an exact science.
Well, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this will be the last question of the day. Thank you.
Okay, our last question will come from Nick Hausman with WrestleZone. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for letting me get... This is two times in a row I get the last call now. I'm very excited.
See that? Now it's like a trend. We get the first opener and the last guy. It's like it's all the work, man.
That's fine. I'll be the main eventer here.
Oh, they're fixed, I say.
Well, I got a question. One of the big things, the reports over the weekend that got my attention was the report that Shawn Michaels may be in talks to be joining the developmental system as a trainer. I didn't know if you had any updates on that, and are there any other plans for any other members of the Clique to maybe be joining the developmental team?
Listen, Shawn and I are in talks all the time about a lot of things. Shawn is in the process of deciding whether he wants to move, not move. I'm not 100% sure where Shawn is at in his personal life as far as his move goes. I haven't talked to him for a couple of days, and I would rather. rather you hear about his personal life from him if he wants to talk about it, but he has recently spent some time in the Performance Center. And, you know, I saw Sean a few months ago. We constantly talk about NXT and the Performance Center, and he loves the brand. And you know, he came down and he spent a few days with me, you know, around talent, and it's I think it kind of invigorated him, which it's hard not to do being around there with all those young, hungry talent and everybody. And he asked about coming back and spending some time, and he went down there, he spent some time, and he worked with some talent, and you know, it's immensely helpful. This all comes down to now to discussions in Sean and what he wants to do. Listen, if Sean said to me tomorrow, I want to be at the Performance Center all the time and helping talent, oh my God, it's the greatest thing ever. If he decides he wants to occasionally visit and help, wonderful. It's all on him, and the door's wide open, and I would love to have his assistance, because quite honestly, I don't know of anybody better that there would possibly be to help these guys, not only as in-ring performers, but the bigger component of that is how to be stars. And there's a big, big difference. There's a big difference between somebody who's a good in the ring and a good talent and a good hand and being a star. And Sean, you know, would probably be one of the best people out there to be able to help with that. So I would love to have him involved. It's sort of up in the air right now. I know people like to speculate on things, but we'll work on it. And trust me, if he decides that he wants to do something more with us, I'll be a giddy little kid. I'll be the first one to tell you.
Oh, man. Okay, and my last question here then is about the Cruiserweight Classic. With the Cruiserweight division, it doesn't sound like there's going to be a Cruiserweight champion. Is that champion going to be crowned in the finals of the Cruiserweight Classic?
Oh, you have to wait and see.
Oh, come on. That's not an answer. That's a non-answer.
You know, it's so, again, look, the excitement for me is we created something unique with the Cruiserweights, I think, in the feel and the presentation of the show, and then we brought in these amazing talents, you know, from to Zawa, to Metallic, to Gallagher, to, you know, Zack Sabre, Drew Gulak, Omdar, I mean, Ibushi, Cedric, you know, Rich Swann, just amazing performers, TJ and you know, and then veterans like Kendrick and Tajiri. You know, it created something special because they knocked it out of the park, and they continue to as we move forward in this tournament, and I'm really excited about it. It created, you know, I told them day one, look, there's opportunity here, but I believe there's going to be more opportunity beyond just this hopefully reoccurring tournament. And they went out there and delivered in a way that made sure that opportunity came their way. And it did. But so now we have to figure out exactly what that opportunity is, and that's what we're in the process of doing. So I hate to give you anything that says, like, this is what it's going to be or that's what it's going to be, because it's not written in stone yet. It's still a little bit of a work in progress. But I can tell you, just like I feel very strongly about it, just like I did about the Cruiserweight Classic, to me, this is going to be really good. The division is going to be really good. The talent in it are going to be great, and I think it's going to you know, put an injection of something fresh into Raw that's going to feel really good and make people really excited about Raw.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much for letting me close it down here with you today, Paul.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody, for taking part in this today. I really appreciate it. You know, please continue to support the Cruiserweight show. I know tonight's a big show. We've got Akira Tozawa versus Jack Gallagher, Noam Dar versus Ho-Ho Loon, and Brian Kendrick versus Tony Nese. It's going to be an epic night, and I tell you that in doing these shows, anytime I see an amazing performance like an Ibushi and a Cedric Alexander that aired last week, I think shortly thereafter, like, all right, well, how's the rest of this going to follow it? And It does. And that's the exciting part about this. They keep raising the bar, and that's really exciting. And I'm excited about the entire thing. Excited about them going to Raw. and this NXT takeover this weekend, Brooklyn 2, sold out. Again, the next step in the evolution of a global brand. And I think you've heard Samoa Joe and a lot of other guys say it, being a part of just something really special. And I think everybody over the last couple of years has gotten to witness that, and I'm excited that it continues. And thank you guys for supporting it, being a part of it. I'll offer the same thing I always offer anybody that wants to come down to the Performance Center, take the tour, be a part of it, see what we do. Dave, if you're still on, you want to come down there and talk to Sean about strength and conditioning at any time, please let me know. Love to have you come down there, see what we do, and witness it firsthand. And same with NXT and anything else we're doing. Thank you guys for the time, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
And there you have it, Triple H's words from the Cruiserweight Classic to almost the Cruiserweight Challenge, the Cruiserweight Classic and NXT. And now we move on to our promo of the week. Daniel Bryan, Renee Young, and The Miz with Maryse. Once again, mainstays on the Talking Smack post-show for SmackDown Live on the WWE Network, which you can subscribe to at ProWrestlingCast.com using our link. But typically, it was just weeks ago that Miz and Maryse were seen making lovey-dovey faces and making out on the table with Renee Young in the middle of it being disgusted, perhaps. But it seems to me like this is another great way for people and smart marks to be drawn to the WWE Network. The unpredictability of the show being live and taking advantage of different storylines and things where some of the upper management may not necessarily be involved in. Maybe they're, you know, they're going into some business and of themselves. All I know is, and this is what Scott Barry said in regards to this particular work shoot, I should say, because we have this little wrestling fan board on Facebook. A lot of people thought, is this unscripted? Well, sure, it's unscripted to a point. I believe they do have interesting bullet points they may hit from a character standpoint or to build character, which a lot of times the WWE uses these types of pre and post shows in order to help build character. I know that they use that a lot online, especially moving characters forward. Why they don't use the main TV to do some of this stuff is beyond me, because the stuff just writes itself. And once again, this is basically Daniel Bryan discussing how the Miz working the old school WWE style is weak and cowardly, and the Miz just totally goes off the cuff. And if you think that there's bad acting going on here, I beg to differ. I think there's actually a lot of genuine stuff going on here in terms of the reactions. But do you think that it's a work? Oh yeah. And Scott Barry, who was on our podcast with Scott Hudson, had even made mention the fact that if it's on TV, it's a work. And so, you know, Dave on the board says, honestly, lost some respect for Brian there, completely uncalled for, and Miz was right to be offended by it, assuming it wasn't a work, which is a possibility, which I won't discount. And Josh says, it's amazing. And Josh had said, I wonder if this is a work. Miz is a hard worker known for doing what he is doing to the best of his ability. This is the second time this week I've questioned whether or not something is a work. I really thought Lesnar beat the crap out of Randy, laugh out loud. And Nixon, who has also been a member of our show, contributor, has said, there's no way this isn't a work. And Daniel had mentioned that they're bullet points, but most certainly turned into a shoot. Steven had also mentioned in here, it's great to watch, but it sure didn't help anyone He's right, though. Miz represents that lighter style of the 2000s versus the Ring of Honor style of that same period. Yet Miz is right about guys working that style being injured. I'm afraid that my beloved Sasha Banks is falling into that category lately. Can't wait to see Miz versus Bryan. Oh, wait, frowny face. And John Donahue from Beers and Body Slams podcast says it was great to see that much passion from the Miz. My main issue is that we were told this new era would focus on the wrestlers and not authority figures, and that Daniel Bryan versus Miz versus Shane and Lesnar, Shane and Stephanie would be more of the same old. They only take two steps forward, only to take one or two steps back. You know, so yeah. So this is where we are on that. I tell you, regardless of what they were trying to do, I do believe that they're trying to heat up the Miz to main event status on that show because they are desperately in need for main event superstars and secondary titles where Miz has brought it to prominence, I do believe, especially with the great mic work that he's done as of late with a great heater like Maurice. I think that this is going to be something they can use and that the Miz can use to further his character, since they really screwed the pooch with Dolph Ziggler. I mean, what can you do now? Dolph Ziggler is basically a choke artist, and they made him out to be that way. So he'll never be able to redeem himself. And I think it was the wrong move. I do believe it's the wrong move to have Dean Ambrose have the belt. Because if you're wanting to widen the field of main event players and to have the belt mean something, Ambrose should have beaten Ambrose should have lost to Ziggler at that point. And Ziggler and Miz could have, and then Ambrose could have widened the field a little bit. So that's just my two cents. We'll discuss it more when Steven gets here. In the meantime, enjoy this piece of WWE Network gold when The Miz goes off on Daniel Bryan. Until then, don't forget to tuck your head, support Pro Wrestling Cast on Patreon and using our shopping links at ProWrestlingCast.com, where you can also subscribe to our videos and podcast. And please don't forget to leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes, to subscribe to our feeds, and to thumbs up on this video, even though it's audio this week once again. We do appreciate it. Don't forget to tuck your head. Obdurit recalcitrance. Nick Bockwinkle for life. We'll see you next time.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Promo of the week.
There's no gentle way to say it to me. You wrestle like a coward. You wrestle like somebody who's afraid to get hit.
Like, I wrestle like a coward.
You wrestle like a coward.
I'm the one.
If I were to create a wrestler who, to me, like embodies, like when I was an independent guy and I was thinking like, oh, okay, what's the soft WWE style? It would be that. WWE is transformed
Hold on. You had your chance to talk. You're the one that called me a coward in the wrestling ring. I'm the coward in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cowards for 1 second. Okay. The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10+ years. I have never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward.
Okay,
I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love being wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. and you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie friends?
Okay, I think you
then,
need to
huh?
calm. No, that's not, no, what, this, that's not this. What this show's
Me
about.
And the GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick because the fact is you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time. You're the coward. I am not a coward. I am your Intercontinental Champion, and there's a reason I am the title. Reason making this the most relevant, prestigious title that WWE has, and I deserve the respect on SmackDown Live. Get that camera right here. Get that camera right here. Understand that this is day 141 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour, and I swear to you, I promise you, it will be the most relevant title on SmackDown Live. I could care less about those little kids on for the tag team titles and the Women's Championship and the WWE Championship. This is my show. My show. And I'm sick of all of you, my GM, sitting there criticizing me, calling me the coward. You're the cowards. I'm the one here day in and day out in that wrestling ring beating people up. Thank you very much.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.